is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Hallmark Christmas movies.
Hi, it's Panda, and I like Hallmark Christmas movies.
Hi, I'm Dan. I despise Hallmark Christmas movies, and this is the Deck the Hallmark Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Wow. Happy Friday. Yes. What a week it's been.
This land is my land.
It's Christmas land.
You know, I went to a theme park.
No.
In.
Not buying it.
No. You're lying.
In Tennessee, called Santa Land.
Yeah.
We went to the Christmas Land Experience out in Los Angeles.
Shout out.
Courtesy of Nicole Buckman. It's wonderful.
It was wonderful.
It was a wonderful time. High recommend if they're doing it again ever. I don't know with COVID if that's a thing, but it was a fun time.
I said Tennessee. I think it's North Carolina.
Yeah, I think it's, all of them stopped listening. It's by Maggie. It's past Maggie Valley.
Yeah, it's past Maggie Valley.
So it's in North Carolina.
On the way to
it's getting close.
Jacksonville.
Yeah.
No, when you're going, it's through the mountains there.
Oh.
It's past Maggie Valley.
Hey, did you hear the mountains? Did you feel them tremble?
I did, but I will say that I didn't really notice it until I woke up one morning. I was at the beach.
Yeah.
And I heard the oceans roaring.
Interesting. And
it brought to me like...
So you felt the mountains tremble, but didn't really feel it until you heard the oceans roar.
It wasn't until I heard it that I felt it.
Interesting.
You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Off to a rip-roaring Friday kind of start.
Sure. It's good stuff.
Is there any idea of what caused it?
I got to be honest. I'm out on lyrics on that song after those two lyrics.
It Jesus.
When the people rose to sing of Jesus Christ.
When the people rose to sing of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Yeah.
Then we see. Come on, everybody. Sonic Flood?
Delirious. How dare you?
So sorry.
Sonic Flood with their one song that's a Third Eye Blind ripoff.
It is.
I'm packed and I'm holding. I'm signing. She living. Come on, Sonic Flood. Be better.
What
if that came out before Third Eye Blind?
Look it up.
It didn't. It's years
just
later.
Just look it up. Okay. While you do that, I'll explain this show. Stack the Hallmark. For those of you that is your first time, welcome. Man, we're so happy that you're here. All the way to SZUFL.gift card. Guest card. Dang it. Panda, you take over.
Hey, listen, we're so glad you're here. Sign that guest card right below. Make sure you put in the offering plate as it comes around. We'll get back to you. It'll be super great. Also, like, subscribe, smash that like button.
And speaking of offering, we don't do that around here. What we do say is just sign up for Bramble Jam Plus.
Yeah, or we have a Venmo at Bramble Jam Podcast. You just Venmo us thousands of dollars, and we will gladly take it. I got it. I got the info. Trace got it over to me. I need the years. The year for Semi-Charm Kind of Life, the year for I Want to Know You by Sonic Flood.
Okay.
A direct rip of Semi-Charm Kind of Life. Unless it came out first, then Semi-Charm Kind of Life, Third Eye Blind's the rip.
Okay. Third Eye Blind, 96. Sonic Flood, I Want to Know You, 98.
Wrong on both.
Okay. 97 for Third Eye Blind. 2000 for Sonic Flood.
So my guess would have been 98, Third Eye Blind, 2000, I Want to Know You. Split the difference. It's 97, I Want to, or 97, Semi-Charm Kind of Life. 99, Sonic Flood. Late 99, early 97.
So
Two and a half years. You were closest because you got one of them right. 2.5 years they had, and they wrote the same song.
Wow. They were like, boy, that song's a real bop by Third Eye Blind. What if we made it for Jesus?
What if we did the same thing, but Jesus? If those of you who love that song, one, who are you? And second, I'm sorry I ruined it for you by telling you that it's just a straight rip.
I want to know you more. More and more. BramblejamPlus.com. Sign up. Add free stuff. Bonus stuff.
Facebook group.
Man, the lunch with the boys this past week was
unbelievable.
I can't even talk about it. I cried just thinking about it. It was so beautiful. Panda, you were there that time.
Yeah,
oh,
it was
my goodness.
Cool. Yeah, amazing. Really
finally
glad.
Made one.
Yeah, glad I could be there, boys.
It was just a Q&A with Panda.
Yeah, yeah. Just
it was weird.
Yeah,
it was
really
weird.
Amazing.
But it was fun. I was glad I was able to answer some
Let's
of that.
Let's play a clip.
Let's play a
give
clip.
Give people a little snippet of what they're missing with lunch with the boys.
And, I got you. Why are you looking at me? Tracy will play the clip.
I'm just looking at you just to talk to you.
Okay,
I'm
great.
Talking to
you. Yeah, let's play a clip. Go ahead.
Tracy, cue that clip.
That's a good
That's
one.
That's funny. That's
no doubt
funny.
About it.
It's all right. Who else do we got? I see that hand.
Hi, hello there.
Hello?
Hey.
Panda, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Why are you a part of this nonsense?
Who
are you?
My name's Daryl Strawberry.
Wait, are you part of the Strawberry clan?
The Strawberry family that knows how to do bits better than anybody. You guys should quit your lives
and
quit your bits.
How did you get into this Zoom?
Wait a minute. You're not even part of the...
I'm a hacker.
I hacked
the Zoom.
You hacked
into Zoom. So I'm not.
Hacked the...
We had all the precautions. We had the passcode. No, we had the waiting
room.
You're not
ready for my bits.
Okay.
All right.
Give us one bit, Daryl.
Okay. I'll give you a bit. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
At the Strawberry household, we take the family gun.
Uh-huh.
It stays in the living room all the time.
Yes.
But once a year, we take the family gun and we put it in the big chip bowl. And we cover it with Lay's kettle cooked.
That's a good bit.
Oh and we gosh, eat the chips. We eat the chips until the gun fires. We call it the chip off the old clock.
That's a good bit. That's a good bit. That's a great bit.
Man.
Boy.
This is what I'm talking about. If you were at lunch with the boys, you would have heard that in real time.
You would have been able to enjoy that.
Yeah. Wow. I did not see it coming. I can honestly say that. And they're next level with their bets. I mean, we're playing checkers over here. These guys.
We're in the minor leagues compared to the Strawberry family.
Wow. Strawberry family.
Man.
Chip off the old clock.
Well, Christmas Land originally aired on December 20th.
You guys saw the Family Gun? What?
December 20th, 2015. It's a 2015 movie.
2015! Best year ever!
Best year ever?
Best year ever!
What happened that year?
So many great things happened!
Name two.
New neon colors for Brave Best Year Guy!
Come again?
I found out about neon!
You found out about neon?
I didn't know a thing!
When you saw neon colors before 2015, what did you think?
I thought
they
my eyes were going bad. I was working at the Sizzler and my server Taryn, she wore a bandana and I was like, that's awesome.
And she just said, this neon?
Best year ever.
That's, I gotta admit,
that's fair.
If you found out about neon
in 2015,
it'd be a great year.
Dude, that'd be like, wild.
Especially if you thought you were having like real eye issues.
Yeah,
like,
it just turns out that's just neon.
Just neon. You thought you were having some ocular disease. Instead, your
what
world
a
just opens.
I mean, you go to Vegas and you're like, this is it. I'm dying.
For once, there's a good reason for it to be the best year ever.
Wow, that's
unbelievable.
Good job. Year, man.
December 20th, 2015, a little something like this. The movie kicks off with Grandma Marsha Brady celebrating Christmas with Lil Jules at a place called Christmas Land.
Lil Jules opened for Lil M.
Yeah.
And it was quite a
show. It was wild. Fast forward, Lil Jules is now Big Jules. We'll call her Jules Cooper is her full name. She's a hotshot deal maker with marketing chops to spare. Wear red, go green doesn't just come up with itself, guys. She gets a big promotion and has a hunk of a boyfriend. Jules gets a letter and finds out that her grandma has left her Christmas land. It's hers. You did it. So she goes back to see it. It's been a long time since she's been there. She arrives and she meets Tucker Barnes. Tucker Barnes is the lawyer who is handling the estate. Christmas Land has been struggling since Marsha Brady passed away, and Jules has every intention to sell the place, get back to her life with her boyfriend in the big city. But after being around some of the people who help kind of run Christmasland and are a part of the town. She's like, maybe I should reopen it and then sell it and someone can keep doing it. So she decides at the very least, I'll fix it up and see what happens. So she ends up putting on her grandma's Mrs. Claus outfit, which was her thing, I guess. And she's really getting into the spirit. She loves being around the Christmas tree lot and giving thoughts about how we can make more money and seeing the park all fixed up. She's loving it. And she meets people from around town who talk about the fact that Christmasland helped save the town when it opened, and they hope that it can save the town again. Her boyfriend, Mitchell, shows up and is like, hey, let's sell this thing and get out of here and start our lives and buy a nice place by Central Park. And by the way, please take off that weird Mrs. Claus outfit. It creeps me out. So he takes her to meet with Al Borland, and he's like, I will buy Christmasland for $1.7 million if you sign right now. I love this place. I'll take good care of it. And then he winks at the boyfriend, which is odd. But then she finds out that he wants to, after she's already signed it, she finds out that he wants to develop the land and build stuff on it like a monster. So goes to boyfriend Mitchell, and he's like, sorry, I don't know what you want from me. You just became a millionaire. What do you want? And so she breaks up with him and goes back to Al Borland, and he's like, what do you want me to do about this? You sold it. You signed it. What can I do? And she's like, just please help me out here. And he says, okay, I'll make a deal. If you give me back my $1.7 million and then you come up with another $1.3 million, I will sell this land back to you for $3 million. And she's like, I don't think so, Tim. But she calls in a favor from a coffee company who is like, we'll do you a favor and we'll do an $850,000 deal to be the exclusive coffee of Christmasland. When Tucker finds this out, he's like, ooh, we're close. But she's like, oh, I failed. But then he discovers that everybody in this town has coffee cans full of money. And so he says, hey, give us all your money and we'll keep Christmasland. And they do it. And so they bring her downstairs and they're like, hey, we put all of our money into this little money drawer. And now you have enough money to pay off Al Borland. And Al Borland shows up and he's like, dope, thanks for the money. See y'all. And she goes outside and the Christmas tree lighting is happening and they end up kissing behind the tree as the snow falls. And that, my friends, was Christmasland.
We did it.
We did do it.
We did it.
We did do it.
No doubt about it. Mm. Big time.
Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and we'll break this movie down. Here on Dead to Homework. Guys, I'm getting frustrated.
What are you frustrated about?
It happened again.
What?
Your TVs?
Your TV got fried again?
Got fried again.
At what point, and let me just ask you this, because you've fried a lot of TVs, do you just listen to one of the episodes of Deck the Hallmark where we talk about Philo TV?
I'm under the impression that this isn't a vacuum, and those don't exist inside that vacuum.
Really?
Yes.
It is not a vacuum, and those do exist. Philo is a real TV service. I think that checks out. Philo is a real TV service with 60-plus channels, and it costs less than half.
But will they fry my TV?
No. It's a guaranteed no-fry situation. So I'm live.
Okay.
Philo won't fry your TV.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Sounds great. For you, TV fryer extraordinaire, it sounds great.
Can it get any better?
Yeah, 25% off for 2 months.
What?
Philo.tv/DTH, 25% off for 2 months. Unlimited DVR for an entire year. Over 60 channels, under $25 a month. Come on.
Thank God it's Friday.
And no TV's fried with Philo. That's a guarantee. This is what happened.
We're going to get an email.
We are. It's just
from Johnny Philo. And somebody, like,
some lawyer Philo is just going to be like, look, this weird thing happened. Some TV started shooting
sparks. It's a bug. We fixed it.
You're costing us a lot of lawsuit money over this frying TV thing. There's nothing we can do about it.
There's a guarantee. My screen's on the fritz.
What are the odds that the person whose TV got fried from Philo also happens to be a listener of Dyke the Hallmark?
Oh, man, that Venn diagram like this. But it's there. Yeah, that it's one there. Person, we're going to hear from him. They Sorry. Probably don't like the bits either. They just listen still for the fun of it.
It's probably Daryl Strawberry.
It probably is.
Guys, let's break this movie down. I think we should start with the hot take where we share exactly how we felt of this movie.
Hey, can I go first?
I would love for you to.
Oh, thank
because
you.
I have gotten a phone call yep. from 17 mm-hmm. different grandmas.
Mm-hmm. Is this about the same number of TVs that have been fried? I just want to say, pick a different number for the love.
He said, he said 16 TVs in 15 months.
Yes.
That was last episode. Yes, and in this episode, 17. Another one happened, 17.
Oh, yeah.
But I said 7D.
7D. Oh, my bad. 7D
grandmas. Oh. And more than half of them say that your takes are the hottest.
4 out of 5 dentists.
Recommend you over half. Over what half. Did the other half say?
They are still on the fence, but they do have a suspicion that you're the hottest.
You got over half?
Wow.
Over half? Definite and another watch. Half
Dude,
on the cards.
While you're ahead. No, so no, hot.
Sheesh.
Well, do you want to go?
Yeah, I do. This movie, when I saw the initial synopsis of it, seemed pretty straightforward and like not a lot was going to be going on. Love Nikki DeLoach. Luke McFarlane. So I was excited about this pairing. I thought it was an interesting pairing. This movie's crazier than I could have ever imagined.
It's bonkers.
It is nuts. It is a group of people making, everyone makes terrible business deals the entire movie. Yeah. They back themselves into a corner that I have never seen anyone back themselves into in a Hallmark movie where they sign away the actual property and they're locked in. Like they're locked in.
Yeah.
And then just how they get out of that situation is absurd. It's ridiculous. It's terrible decisions being made. It is dumb. I still kind of liked it. I don't know what you want from me. It's dumb, guys. This is one of the dumbest Hallmark movies I have ever seen. Christmas Land's dumb.
Yeah.
The premise of Christmas Land, the actual land experience, whatever.
Oh, the actual event is dumb?
I think it is. And I'll get into that.
Wow.
But it's a dumb movie.
That's where you lose me. That seems like something pretty standard for a Hallmark.
Here's why I would say it's dumb.
Carriage ride, tree lighting, Christmas stores everywhere.
But what do they do with the Christmas stores? We don't actually see anything of the stores other than they're decorating cookies. Like everywhere they do is like, just cookie decoration.
Christmas Land experience was like in two basic rooms, but it had a lot of different things going, a lot of stations.
Sure.
Imagine each of those stations being like
But a we house. Never see any of that.
No, but that doesn't make it dumb. It just means it's unexplored.
I think that that's a huge missed opportunity.
Yeah, you only got an hour and 25 minutes. I'm not disagreeing with anything else you said before then.
Right,
I just want to be clear. But
sure. The
idea of having a town that you call Christmas Land is a great idea.
It's quaint, but I'm just saying the way they executed it, it's dumb.
Yeah.
It is a dumb movie. Which is a shame because I think Nikki's great, and I think Luke was Luke. I mean, Luke. I thought he does fine in this movie. It's typical Luke. It's good. But Al Borland's in it. What more?
Richard Karn. Come on.
Number one answer. It's not my first time.
Sorry, I got guys. It's on me.
You'll do. You'll do.
When you have hot takes like that, it scorches the throat.
It's so hot.
So hot. It's not my first time to Christmas Land. It won't be my last. I love this movie. I think it's a blast. And I think that it is dumb. I think it's ridiculous. I don't think it makes any sense. And for all those reasons, I absolutely adore this movie. I think it's... And Christmas Land is awesome. And I hope that you... Like, don't like get seriously hurt, but something happens to you because of how awful that opinion was. Christmas Land's awesome. And everything about this movie is great. I love it. Big fan for Brent.
To be fair, I said I like the movie. It's just ridiculously stupid.
You don't like Christmas Land, though.
He thinks it's a bad idea. I don't get that take at all.
I don't want anything bad to happen to you. I just want you to feel the consequences of your words.
I feel nothing. Okay. I stand by everything I said.
Not yet, at least.
This is a better brand of dumb than Christmas cookies.
Yes.
But my thing with this movie, aside from it being just nonsensical, like it doesn't make any sense. Don't try. If you put any sort of logic to this, anybody who likes spreadsheets or math, just forget it. This is also, I believe, Nikki DeLoach's first Christmas film, and I think it's Luke McFarlane's first Christmas film with Hallmark, and they both seem a little bit more freer. Like, I thought Luke McFarlane seemed a little bit more free to, like, act and be a character than he normally does. This is, this is a little bit of a trivia question for both of you. So, Bran, you can't look it up.
Amen.
This is the fifth Nikki DeLoach movie where her grandma, aunt, some female family member who's older than her dies and gives her something.
Right.
Five times it's happened.
It's impressive.
Name those five films.
Ooh.
Two Turtle Doves. Sweet Autumn. Now I gotta remember the other one she's been in.
Christmas Land.
Christmas Land. You got two left. Those are the two.
What was her Christmas movie last year? Cranberry Christmas. She doesn't get any left mm-hmm. anything.
Nope.
Reunited at Christmas.
Reunited at Christmas.
You remember that one?
No.
Yeah. That's 11 Merry Christmases.
Ooh, and then what's the one other one?
We have reviewed all five.
Okay. Yeah, this is tough. Is it a Christmas movie?
It is not.
Okay. That makes it tough. Man, can you give me a hint?
Ron Oliver directed it.
Ooh, wow. Oh, boy.
And we've reviewed
it? We notoriously hated this movie.
Oh, well, that's sad.
It was very early on in the existence of Deck the Hallmark.
Before Reunited at Christmas?
Yep.
We watched the Nicki Lich movie before Reunited?
Truly, Madly, Sweetly with Dylan Neal.
Oh my gosh, the one with
they give her the bakery. And they give her half, and they give him half.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I forgot about that.
So, like, at some point, Nicki Deloach is, we all agree, she's wonderful. She's the Hallmark queen.
Hallmark
my
queen.
My favorite is Bethany Joy Lenz, but she only comes around every now and then. Nicki Deloach is it. Why in the world is every movie Nicki's dead grandma gave her something? Like, every single one. This movie's bonkers, new, it's crazy. Of those movies, Two Turtle Doves is clearly the best one, in my opinion. This one is the most memorable of the rest of them just because of how nuts so insane it is. But if you ever wanted to know why the big city is full of rich people and why the small town is full of poor people, look no further in Hallmark movies, not in real life, in Hallmark movies, look no further than Christmas Land, where the people of a small town get hoodwinked out of $1.3 million somehow.
Unbelievable.
It is absurd. No character makes a decision that's in their best interest aside from Al Borland.
But I'm not convinced he does either. We'll get to that.
Well, yeah, I mean, he could have probably made more money. But to make $1.3 million in 48 hours and then take that money and invest it in a sure investment is his best decision. To make $1.3 million in 48 hours...
And do nothing
is his best decision. Aside from him, nobody else makes the correct decision. It's wild out there, gang. But it is very memorable, and I know I get why Brand loves it. That's what I got.
Thank you. It's time for All the Feels. Part of the show, we talk about one of this movie gave us feels. Panda.
So... I think they do a great job of Christmas in the Christmas Land. even though I think the way they execute the Christmas Land, I want to be clear because I misspoke earlier. Yeah. I do not think
you said
the
you thought Christmas Land was a bad idea, and that's not what I mean.
I mean their execution of how they played out Christmas Land. I felt like it was so radically unexplored; it came across as dumb.
Yeah.
But I think that Christmas Land, the town, the little town center square lane, whatever you want to call it, is adorable. I love that. That gave me Christmas feels. I wish there was something like that. Legitimately. And I thought that worked really well. I thought what also worked kind of well was when she goes back and watches her grandma recording the video and she goes, I miss you, grandma, when her grandma says, hey, this is a video that I always want to remember you by. I thought that worked okay for this. It's not the best execution we've seen of somebody going back. I thought Five Star Christmas, they did better watching the old.
That's the best.
Yeah, that's the best going back and exploring for sure. Family members. But overall, those are the all the feels for me.
I mean, Christmas Land in general and just seeing it all decorated was wonderful, and I really liked the Christmas tree lot, and that they like had trees that were like decorated and stuff. I thought that was really neat. All of it gave me feels every second of every day.
They do a great job with Christmas.
Wait a minute, of every day,
every second of the movie, every second of every day while I'm watching this movie.
Wow, bold. But I'll buy it.
That is a hot take.
The Christmas in this movie is very well done. The snow even looks real. It looks like there's too much of it at times. There's a lot of Christmas, and you get a carriage ride and a tree lighting, and it all works to pretty great effect. It just is surrounded by just a Looney Tunes plot. But the Christmas in general, I can't think of one specific scene that sticks out because the whole movie is just like inundated with Christmas, and that's a good thing. So yeah, that's what I got.
Let's take one more break. We'll come back with the wait what's.
Ooh, and break any those more down. TVs frying or just a regular?
No, old? I think it's just a regular okay. right here.
Maybe, you never know.
You never know. We're back, everybody. We're talking about Christmas Land 2015, the year Neon came to town. And
for the year guy, anyway.
For the year guy.
Yeah.
And very excited to talk about the wait what's in this movie, as if there's any. And I'll start with the good friend Panda.
First of all, they're in trying to show that Christmas Land is run down because it's been in disrepair.
Yeah.
The only thing that is, in fact, in disrepair is the sign.
There's one wheel missing from the carriage. How dare you forget the insurmountable task that is one wheel
missing
from the carriage.
That is ridiculous.
No way you can fix that.
I had that as one of the other things. Like, how does that show your commitment to fixing Christmas Land? Yeah. It's one wheel. You can fix that.
What are we going to do? A wheel is off the carriage. We're ruined.
That's ridiculous.
It is banquet time, though.
Banquet time.
It's banquet time, baby.
There's an 8-year-old girl here who cannot figure out how to put glitter on an ornament.
No, cannot do it.
And I will tell you that my 2-year-old daughter can figure out how to put glitter
on an ornament. She's almost 3.
Almost 3. Fair enough. Yeah, she is almost 3. But that said, that 8-year-old girl looks and she goes, how do I put glitter on an ornament? And it is just Hallmark. I'm not sure Hallmark knows what children are sometimes.
Yeah, no, they don't. But you think they're all adorable. Yeah.
They're the townspeople. I've got to be honest with you. I don't like the townspeople in this movie. They all passively aggressively attack this woman for wanting to sell property that she has inherited and keeps open. I think they're mean. Like, they're not just kind of like they're like passive aggressive in the worst way, including Tucker.
Acting like the Al Borland is the bad guy in this movie
is ridiculous.
Absurd. Because he even says he'll try to keep the main portions of Christmas Land open.
As long as he can. I don't know. I will tell you the other plot twist. They really bury the lead on this. They say she's inherited the house and then she's inherited the compound. The other thing that they have conveniently left out of that entire conversation is she has inherited 206 acres of land situated between two major highways the way they describe it.
Yes.
And the wait what for me is that at no point does she go and investigate how much is this property worth?
Yeah.
Because the guy sight unseen goes, I'm going to offer you $1.7 million. She accepts without any hesitation. Did you not look into that?
So a couple things there. First of all, there are people that have to be paying her rent on all the property that she owns, first of all. So the tree lot, all those people are paying rent. They're not doing the job for free and keeping all the profit.
Right.
Unless they're all employees working for Christmas Land, in which case we've got a different problem. Second of all, that comes out to just over $8,000 an acre, not including the buildings, all of the stuff.
Yeah.
She's giving it away.
At $1.7 million, that is ridiculous.
She's giving it away.
Yes.
She's giving away this land for nothing. And she never does a single bit of research about it. And then my man takes it and flips it in 48 hours for $1.3 million, sight unseen. Yeah, maybe he could have really just dug his heels
with development. I feel like he could have made, if he's going to section that off, he could have made back maybe 4 or 5 times that amount over time.
But it's one of these things like with the lottery, like would you rather take the lump sum or a payment every year? You'd rather take the lump sum because you can invest it right away. He can take that $1.3 million right now and invest it, and it's just making him free money.
He doesn't
have to do any more work. He did
like Doge.
Yeah, like Doge, for instance. Doge Coin.
What a week.
What a week.
There you go. Those are my way. It is the business decisions that everyone is making. We haven't even gotten to how they pay for it, which I'll leave for.
What's wild is that Hallmark never deals in money of this amount. They'll say somebody's a billionaire, or they'll make it like really small amounts of money.
Or they won't mention how much money check. They'll just slide the check over and they'll go, wow, that's a lot of money.
Which probably would have served them well here because $1.7 million, but they can't do it because then they got to buy it back. But $1.7 million is just, that's chump change. It's nothing.
For 260, or you downplay how many acres there are.
There's a lot of ways to fix the problem. A lot of ways to fix it. They did none of them, for sure.
There's a night that Nikki, you know, it's been a long day of Christmas Landing. And she's in bed and she picks up the Encyclopedia of Pines.
As you do.
The book. And she opens it up. She opens up the Encyclopedia of Pines. And just promptly closes it.
And goes to sleep.
And goes to sleep. And she's just like, this Encyclopedia of Pines is just too daunting. I just can't tonight.
I can't Pines tonight. I can't do it.
Start this again. It has been such a day. I just can't get into the Encyclopedia of Pines. Not tonight. No, I can't.
It's like just paper Ambien. Just Pines. Just... Then we've got
Al Borland is the nicest, hard-nosed business guy I've ever met. He is very. I'm going to stick to my guns.
Yeah,
but
I'm going to be kind about it.
I'm going to be super nice about it the whole time. But, and he's so nice that at the end of this movie, when they hand him the cash box, watch the cash box. I was convinced he was going to give it back to the nice people. He smiles and just walks off. That's how nice he was. I was like, surely he's not going to keep the money. Nope, he sure did.
Hiring Richard Karn for that role is a decision. Like, you're sitting there going, all right, we got to have a big, bad real estate mogul from the big city who's going to offer him money and then he's going to flip it. What about Al Borland from Home Improvement? Like, that is a decision that someone made to have the bad guy be nice.
I always like him. And I never am sad.
And what if we put him in a horseshoe mustache and soul patch?
Yeah.
What if we do that for the fun of it? So nobody recognizes him as Al Borland.
I loved it. And my last one, and it does go back again to the money, which I'm sure we'll get into even more in the What the Hallmark, but the guy who, what's that guy? It's not Tucker. It's Tucker's right-hand man who's always there. He's bald, kind of looks like he's
up to no
good. He's the one who delivers this line. He pulls out his coffee container.
Full of money.
Full of cash.
That's right.
And he looks at Tucker and he says, everybody has a rainy day fund. Everybody.
Everybody.
And I would say, yeah, maybe, but not this much. Like, yeah. this is abnormal.
That's a lot of money.
That's an abnormal amount of money for a guy who lives on Christmas land to have for his rainy day fund. It was an interest. It was just wild. I didn't see it coming.
Oh, there is a picture in the house.
And I just want to say this.
Okay.
Tucker is a lawyer.
Yeah.
Tucker is, as far as I can tell, out no money in this.
None. Zero.
I thought, Tucker's going to give all the money. Tucker's got money away from his big business days.
Tucker does nothing.
No, he's just here for the ride. Just here, hanging out. Just Tuck, baby.
Tuck and roll.
There is a painting in the main house of Nikki's grandma where she is in the Santa robe and a hat of sorts, and it is terrifying. It looks like she's a dictator of some sort, maybe of the North Pole. I don't know, but I can't believe that is an endearing photo. Like, it gave me the heebie-jeebies all movie long. It really bothered me. Were you guys done? You didn't think that picture was watching you?
It was disturbing.
It was bad.
The eyes moved.
Can we talk about Nikki DeLoach acting very excited about pancakes and syrup and then taking the syrup and just putting about... a quarter size on the side of one pancake.
Does not make sense. Who does that?
I'm sorry. I'm not as big a syrup guy as you two, but if I put syrup on my pancakes, it's drizzled evenly across all pancakes. You put a little bit on the edge of one pancake. Are you saving room for other takes? That's the only thing that makes sense there. That's a monster move right there. She didn't put it on the side to dip in. She put basically like a half dollar's worth of syrup on one spot of pancake, and that's it. That doesn't make any sense at all. Yeah. Hey, I've got an idea.
What?
Let's go back to the 2015 economy where Christmas trees are $25 because I could save a fortune. And I mean it in all sincerity. Thanks, Obama. Like, a Christmas tree is $25? Sign me up. Like, what world are we living in? I think I paid $90 this year for an 8-foot tree. It was absurd.
Neon was thriving.
Neon was, man, it was a different time. They are so hell-bent on making you think the big city is terrible. At one point, Luke McFarlane looks at Nikki DeLoach as they're walking into one of the buildings in Christmasland, and he says to her, Want me to throw some trash on the street to make you feel more at home?
Yes.
He says that in this movie. Like, are they going to crawl through the screen like the girl in the ring and just spit on every person's face that lives in the big city? Are you kidding me right now? Want me to throw some trash on the street? Want me to have a hobo come and urinate on the wall? What else can I do for you to make you realize the big city's terrible? Good gracious. And then he says to her next, like two scenes later, unlike you, lying doesn't come easily for me.
I like Luke McFarlane. I'm questioning, he's kind of a jerk in this movie.
They all are. The whole town is 100% sign me up for the big city. The woman who is supposed to be the comic relief in this movie and is just downright terrible, she has a fake ice cream cone which she fake licks in this movie. She holds it up and she goes like this. And it's one of the worst acting jobs I've ever seen. And I want to be clear, Nikki DeLoach fixes the problem she made by hiring Big Coffee to come in and spend almost $1 million on the town. So the small town that hates the big city is about to take a $1 million check to pay for the land from Big Coffee so that basically what amounts to Starbucks is the only coffee you can buy in the entire small town.
Just a Christmas land.
Just a Christmas
land. At Christmas land. You got big citied.
It's a bad deal for Big Coffee, though.
But Big Coffee's saving you. You didn't save you. Like, and then we've got $500,000 in cash coming from five individuals, all put in a container that would maybe hold a tenth of that to end this movie. And I couldn't make heads or tails of it. That's all I got.
It's time for what the Hallmark is part of the show. We wonder what could have been. Maybe
you got it.
I'm gonna start with Panda Panda. What are you wondering?
My biggest thing is what else does Christmas Land offer? Because all we've seen legitimately, this is all we saw. We saw that kids were decorating ornaments in the owner's house.
Yeah.
Which is weird. But then the only other thing we see is there's a building where kids decorate cookies.
So so many other buildings.
There's so many, and it looks great, but like, what are you doing? Like, there's no signage that tells you anything.
No.
And so to me, that is a missed opportunity. I would love to know what else Christmas Land has to offer. I would have been more all in if they had immersed me more in the world of Christmas Land.
I am all to that point. I'm interested in the city surrounding Christmas Land.
Yes, that would be good.
I don't know really what it entails.
I think that this Christmas land and then the area surrounding that she owns is kind of on its own, in its own world. Yeah. Like I don't think it's in the middle of a bigger town.
It's anywhere. Within driving distance to Chicago.
Yeah.
We know that much, but that's about all
it
we
seems
know.
Like it's worth a lot more than $1.7
million. Yeah. So I just thought I want to know more about the town. Fair.
Yeah. Encyclopedia of Pines is mine. Of course. And the fact that it's not either of yours is inexcusable.
I own that book. It's
this
great.
Is a book called the Encyclopedia.
Encyclopedia of Pine.
Of Pines. I mean, if you can't fall asleep just reading that title, who wrote that book? Why is it bedtime reading?
Greg Pine.
Greg Pine wrote
it? It's actually about his family.
It's about Chris Pine?
Yeah, it's just the Pines. It's just an encyclopedia of Pines.
Wow.
The people.
I can't, but like, I get it, but she's just there, and she's just like, I'm going to crack open a book. Mm-mm. Encyclopedia Pine sounds good to me.
That'll be the one.
Sold.
We did, everybody. Congratulations. Hey. What a Christmas in July it's been, man. What a Christmas in July
so
it's
good.
Been. Before we leave you, we do have one more Christmas gift for you, and it is the Double Decker of the Week. It's prepared as a deep dive, the Google Plus, if you will, into the life of somebody who has signed up for Bramble Jam Plus, a Double Decker. Who do we have today, Dan?
Jessa Lee.
Yeah,
Jessa Lee.
Jessa Lee. Guys, we're honored to have Jessa Lee part of our crew.
Of course we are. We're honored to have
all of them. But Jessa Lee kind of is next tier.
Interesting. So you think she's better than everyone else?
I don't want to say better. I would just say she's got power. She knows movers and shakers.
All right, tell me more.
She's a big exec at the TVs.
At the TVs?
She has scheduled an entire week and is taking off. You know how Shark Week has gotten really big?
Course.
Okay, she's done now. She took it off of Shark Week, and she's calling it Sharp Week, and it's just programming dealing with things that are sharp.
Oh, on man. What channel is this?
Discovery Y.
Discovery Y.
Yeah.
Discovery with two Y's at the end, or is there Discovery Space Y?
No, Discovery W-Y or H-Y.
Discovery Y.
Yeah.
And that's my question about all of this.
And there's 1 week out of the year where it's sharp television.
Is it like
what's the rest of the year entail for Discovery
Wise? Okay, so it's sharp week, and then there's round week. They do different.
Movies like Saw or like a movie that?
No, not movies.
Is it just like a documentary of things that are sharp?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Boy, this sounds
glass.
Terrible.
Glass. Swords,
but not the movie Glass.
No, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Are you sure there's not movies? I feel like you'd fill some time.
It's 24 hours a day for a week, and it's just sharp.
There's a lot of the documentary scene on sharp objects is massive.
Wow. How, are they producing any of this content in-house?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What are they working on right now?
Well, Sharp Week just ended, so now, you know, they're going into rectangles. And so it's the origins of rectangles.
What are they calling that week?
Big Square.
But it's a rectangle.
Yeah, but if you really think about it, it is a big square.
No, a square would just be a bigger square.
No. Yes. Yeah, no, I think you could take it up with the execs, but you're not
book.
There.
What about read a book. Like, what about long square?
No.
You could make an argument for that. It's long.
Yeah.
It's a square that's long.
No, I could see that. No, I think that would be
that's
really
better
good.
Than big square.
Mm-hmm. But it is big square.
We did it, everybody. Congratulations. Hey. We'll be back next week with another exciting one. Until then, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.